Today is the Feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, with a commemoration and proper last gospel of the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Tomorrow is Columbus Day, and there are no school classes tomorrow. Classes will resume on Tuesday, October 13th. And please note there will be no 5 p.m. Mass tomorrow evening at the school. The Mass will actually be at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning at the school, and the devotions and prayers for our country will be said after the morning Mass. A Young Boys Adventure event is scheduled for Saturday, October 17th at St. Pius V School from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Please contact the office for more information. The Father Roy Randolph Right to Life Group will be reciting the Rosary this Saturday, October 17th, here at the chapel after the 8 a.m. Mass. A seminar will be given on the dangers that young adults face in today's society and the church's stand on important moral issues. High school graduates and parents are encouraged to attend the conference at St. Pius V School on Thursday, October 22nd at 7:30 p.m., and there are flyers available in a bulletin with more information. The school will host a basketball game with the Priest Brothers and Seminarians of Immaculate Heart Seminary on Friday, October 23rd in the school gym. The games will begin at 3:30 p.m. Unfortunately, the Christmas fair is canceled this year, so please do not bring any new or white elephant items to Oyster Bay or to the school. In order to raise much-needed funds for the school, the fair's raffle tickets will still be sold. Please continue to help us sell tickets to outsiders or friends and co-workers. That support makes all the difference. In addition, the sisters will be taking pre-orders for the sisters' kitchen and the candy sales. These orders will be filled on Sunday, November 15th and the 22nd as well. If you would like to receive more information regarding the pre-orders, please contact the school office. We are sending in our order for Sunday donation envelopes this week. If you do not already receive them and would like to use them for next year, please call the office as soon as possible. In addition to the normal weekday schedule for confessions, confessions will now be heard on the first and third Sundays of the month. This will begin next Sunday. The Sunday confessions are primarily for those who are elderly and those who live at a greater distance from the chapel. At Oyster Bay, the confessions will be heard after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. At Melville, confessions will be between the 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Masses. In order for the priest to start Mass on time, he will stop confessions 10 minutes before Mass. And though we would never refuse or discourage confession for anyone, please remember that the purpose of the Sunday confessions is to accommodate the people who have difficulty getting to the chapel during the week. As I mentioned, confessions are also heard on Thursday evening at the school from 11 to midnight, Friday evening and Saturday morning here at Oyster Bay. And finally, in the charity of your prayers, I ask that you please remember the repose of the soul of Mr. Bob Kelly, a longtime parishioner here at St. Pius and the brother of Mrs. Helen Rausch. Mr. Kelly, though not related to Bishop Kelly, was one of the men to assist him in the construction of the first chapel in Wantagh. Although there will be no wake, the funeral mass and burial will take place in Round Top this Friday, October 16th at 11 a.m. with the rosary before the mass. And if you'll please join me now, we will pray for the repose of his soul.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus. As the vine, I have brought forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and riches. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and virtue. Come over to me, all ye that desire me, and be filled with my fruits. For my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey and the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations. They that eat me shall yet hunger. They that drink me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among his kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. These words are taken from today's epistle in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of the maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In other words, it is a feast in which we honor the Blessed Mother in a special way as the Mother of God. The feast of the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1931. 1931 was the 15th centenary of the proclamation of her title as Mother of God by the Council of Ephesus. It was in the year 431 that the bishops of the church convened in the city of Ephesus and officially proclaimed the dogma of the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This council at Ephesus was called in the year 431 to examine the teachings of Nestorius, the patriarch of Constantinople. Nestorius taught that in Christ there were two persons, one divine and one human. And the Blessed Mother was the mother of the human person, not the divine person. And therefore, she could not truly be called the Mother of God. St. Cyril of Alexandria, with 198 bishops of the Catholic Church, condemned Nestorius and his heresy and proclaimed the teaching of the Church that in our Lord Jesus Christ there is one person, and that person is divine, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of God. The doctrines were sent to Pope St. Celestine I for ratification. One tradition says that when St. Celestine I read the decrees of the Council, he exclaimed, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Now, when Pope Pius XI instituted this feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Mother, the world was recovering from the Great War, World War I. In 1931, the year in which he instituted the feast, Pope Pius XI saw the rise of atheistic communism in a world that was more and more turning away from its Redeemer. He saw a world that needed its mother. And thus, to honor Our Lady and to foster a devotion to the Mother of God, he instituted this feast for the Universal Church. And since the Divine Maternity makes Mary share in a certain measure the goodness and the power of God, it ought to inspire us with a great confidence in the efficacy of her intervention. And I would like to tell you a little story that will illustrate, by way of analogy, how powerful is the intervention of the Mother of God. In the 14th century, Edward III was crowned King of England at 14 years of age after his father was deposed by his mother. At age 17, Edward led a successful coup against Roger Mortimer, who had become the ruler of the country, and Edward then began his own personal reign over England. Edward III, as a king, sought to extend his realm by conquering neighboring countries. After a successful campaign in Scotland, he then declared himself the rightful heir to the French throne in the year 1337, and this started what would become known as the Hundred Years' War. His military victories secured for Edward the freedom to pursue a major offensive against France. He laid siege to the French town of Calais. The siege was the greatest English venture of the Hundred Years' War, involving an army of 35,000 men. It started on the 4th of September, 1346, and lasted until the town had to surrender almost a year later on August 3rd, 1347. During that time, the city was completely surrounded by Edward III's troops, and no support could reach the inhabitants of Calais. Food and water were cut off from the town. The citizens of Calais did not have the necessary military supplies nor the manpower to conduct a counterattack against Edward's army, and thus they had to surrender after an 11-month standoff. Once the town surrendered, Edward III did not give an order to pillage and loot and destroy the city. Instead, he sent a message to the people of Calais demanding that six of its most prominent citizens must present themselves to be executed. They should come to his camp with nooses around their necks and offer themselves as victims to his anger. Six virtuous and devoted men consented to make the sacrifice of their lives for the safety of the unfortunate town. But before presenting themselves to the king, they implored as a last resource the intercession and the mediation of his wife. Prostrate at her feet, their eyes filled with tears, they exclaimed, "O good and powerful queen, be our advocate with the victorious king. Plead our cause. Obtain pardon for our city and for ourselves. If you abandon us, we shall perish. If you intercede for us, our lives will be saved." "For pity's sake," they exclaimed, "speak for us, O beloved queen." Touched with compassion, the royal lady raised them from the ground and, comforting them, promised to undertake their defense. At that moment, the king entered, and casting on them a look of anger, he ordered them to be put to death at once. "Prince," exclaimed the queen, "if you have accounted me worthy to be associated with you in your victories, if I have a right to share in your triumphs, I assert these rights in order to save these virtuous men. I ask for their pardon as a reward of my services, and my request must be granted." The king, no doubt, was a bit stunned by the words of his wife. But he finally replied, "I can refuse nothing to so powerful and so devoted a spouse. Your clients are spared." The prisoners uttered a cry of joy and called down blessings upon their noble benefactress. This true story of the queen who saved the lives of the six brave men reminds us that we have a powerful advocate in heaven, a mother who is full of love and tenderest solicitude for the welfare of her children, and a queen who is all-powerful to help us in our every need. She is all-powerful, for if she asks anything of her divine Son, it is as a command to him. Thus, my dear faithful, knowing with what power our Blessed Mother's intervention can be with her divine Son, inspire in others, especially your own family, a tender devotion to Our Lady. That devotion to Our Lady must be cultivated first and foremost in the home. Parents, you have a primary duty to raise your children in the fear and love of God. And part of that duty is to show them a true love and respect for the Mother of God. We read in the Gospel of St. John that as our Lord hung on the cross, he gave his mother to St. John. St. John in that moment represented all of us. Our Lord gave his mother to all of us as a special protectress. And as those six brave men from the city of Calais had a powerful advocate in the queen who spared their lives, we now have Our Lady as a powerful advocate in heaven. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception is the special patroness of the United States. And if we are faithful to her by praying her rosary devoutly and asking for her intercession and aid, she will be faithful to us. Have great confidence then in the Mother of God, so that one day we will be part of a glorious victory whereby her immaculate heart shall triumph. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.